This is Description, episode 53 for May 23rd, 2008, with material recorded May 15th.
Welcome to Description, Valerie in Toronto. Hello there. I am Valerie, and I am not in Toronto. I am in, as Peter Mansbridge would say, Ottawa. I am outside of Confederation Park. Actually, in fact, I'm standing directly in front of a short concrete wall in which is engraved Parc de la Confédération. Oh man, first bad French pronunciation of the day. And boy, that won't be the last. It is such a gorgeous day. Oh my lord. In fact, it's almost a perfect day, except for the fact that it's windy, as you will notice throughout the show. I am here. Well, first off, remember the last time I was in this area and did a show? I was in Hull, or Gatineau. And I was, doing some testifying or whatever for the CRTC, and which is what I was doing in Vancouver, just for an entirely different thing. And so I am back here across the Ottawa River from where I was before. Remember that show in Hull? I pretty much stayed in Hull, and but now I'm on the other side and actually in Ottawa. So thought I'd do a thing here. It's I'm at Confederation Park, which is smaller than it sounds, for those of you who don't know, and but it's a nice little park, and it's lunchtime on a Thursday, and everybody's out. And as I turn north, I'm looking at this great gigantic wall that is part of the National Arts Center. What are they advertising? A gala for the Governor General's Performing Arts Awards that happened May 3rd. Nice going, guys. And an ad for their English theater season. They have an English theater season and a French theater season, the National Arts Center. And then I turn some more, and directly across the street is the Lord Elgin, a hotel I did not stay at. And now I'm going to continue north. More city-type stuff is to my left, going to the west. That's kind of nice. Although, you go another block or two and it gets kind of like, I don't know, it's kind of like downtown Erie, to be honest with you. Where do you go? Where did everything go? But, continuing to the north and a little bit to the west, and then also in the other direction to the east, going over the Rideau Canal, you know, there you've got the Byward Market, and that is wicked awesome. I think I'm referring to the area of Spark Street. There's a pedestrian area there that's pretty cool. I kind of think this area especially is pretty nice for walking and seeing different things, going to different shops, whatever, which is good for this being a company town. And the company in question, well, along with Research in Motion, but really the company this town is about is the government, the national government, federal government. Walking north now, although waiting for the light to change at Albert. But where we are ultimately going is a little bit to my left, and is the main location, well, it's head office of the company in question, and that's Parliament Hill. Okay, so I'm approaching Parliament Hill, the southern boundary is Wellington Street or Ave or something. If Danny Michaud could live here for a while and screw up Elgin Street calling it Elgin Ave, then I can call Wellington whatever the hell I want. The Parliament buildings are pretty iconic, and I have no idea where I'm allowed to cross the street. Oh, I think I can do it here. Just a reminder, our federal government is parliamentary, like England, so the buildings are, they look very parliamentary and like really old. I'm gonna have links with all the actual historical things that I don't know or can't remember right now. This is a perfect spot where I'm standing right now to take a picture of what would be on a postcard. If you ever see a postcard of Ottawa, you would probably have a picture of what I'm looking at right now, which is the center block and the Peace Tower. Peace Tower has a clock. Hark! Thank you, clock, for your timing. Ba-dum-bum. It's 12:45, which is why that did that. I've been here times where the clock tower was sheathed in scaffolding. So, we have people enjoying the day, lunchtime, on this lawn. Fairly expansive lawn. And, no surprise, a class has kids in school uniforms has converged around the eternal flame. We have one. Isn't it called something else?
Centennial flame.
Crap. I don't know anything. I suck. I'm walking up to it, by the way, now. I'm walking past a worker for the National Capital Region. In a nice Aussie kind of hat. I think she's the benevolent guard of this flame. I think you can pretty much tell that it's also a fountain. Let's hear that. And in the center is a flame. And around the edge, which people could sit on, but I don't think they're allowed to. The nice lady in the Australian hat would probably ask you not to, even though one guy just did. So we'll find out. Around the edge on this benchy type thing, there's a kind of a block for each province. And when they were their official, it looks like their official provincial flower, and the date they were included in Confederation. I'm right now in front of the one for, I think it's Newfoundland and Labrador, because it's for 1949. And not coincidentally, across the way is a guy, older guy in, not too older, I'll say in his 50s, with a beard and mirrored sunglasses and a cane. And he is wearing an entire length of the Newfoundland Labrador flag. Newfoundland Labrador flag on his front and his back, wearing it like a sandwich board. And he is trying to hand out a pamphlet to a couple guys. who are now walking away. And so he's standing around here, and he has a few signs set up, relatively small ones next to him. And it says, "Mr. Harper," that's our esteemed Prime Minister, who I've talked about before. "Mr. Harper, in 2006, for 8 months, your Justice Department reviewed my file." What was reviewed? Where's the report? And there's a little tiny writing at the bottom that I can't make out. Another sign says, "No justice in Newfoundland for priors of Grand Bank." Grand Bank is a place in Newfoundland. And there's a website, so take this down. maxpages.com/sexualabuse, all one word. You do well not to Google that, just enter it directly. And one more sign that says, "Child rape is okay? ? In Newfoundland, if you have power." And again, the website. So that's the political or otherwise statement that's being made on the lawn at the moment. So this, like I said, this is the site for that sort of thing. Otherwise, you've got people in various stages of formal dress, I mean work dress, laying out, sitting around talking, throwing around a football. Now, over to my left, there's this thing that I think is the info tent. I was doing some touristy research before coming here. It said, you know, as of just yesterday, they moved their tourist information thing for the season from somewhere on the other side to this white info tent that pretty much looks like an info tent to me. And the info tent is, I'll stop it eventually, I'm sorry, is next to the statue of John Diefenbaker. Woo! John Diefenbaker. There are people who would get really, really, really mad at me if I say that John Diefenbaker is like, to compare him with Ronald Reagan. He was the leader the last time the conservatives were in power for a long period of time. And I emphasize the phrase, long period of time. The weasels have been in power at odd times, including now. But in the 50s, they got to be in power for, what did I say? A long period of time. And the leader was this guy, John Diefenbaker. You can't compare him to Reagan on the basis of charm, exactly. As allegedly Diefenbaker was a pretty gruff son of a bitch. But everybody was cool with that. And evidently he had some good intentions. And he's looking pretty darn stoic and like a tough old son of a bitch standing here looking at me. Goo. Okay. I like how he's standing with his feet apart, and I should say picture, standing with his feet apart, and he's got one hand jauntily in his one of his jacket pockets, while there's a larger coat. He's wearing a larger coat over that. So one hand is in a jacket pocket, another one is carrying a briefcase, it looks like. Do you ever see statues where you've got guys carrying briefcases? Or portfolios? I love this country. Oh, I can take this outdoor self-guiding booklet. Alright, I'll do that. I'm not going to go through all this, because I've already talked a lot. Oh, let me see, what is... There's writing on the briefcase that Diefenbaker's carrying. Why am I obsessed with this? Ooh, cool. It's not a briefcase. He's carrying a book. And it says, Canadian Bill of Rights. On one side of his arm. On the other side of his arm. At the top of the book, it says, Oh, in French. Déclaration. Well, it says it in French. He's carrying a Canadian Bill of Rights. Huh. Let's look at this self-guided tour pamphlet thing. Welcome to Parliament Hill. The buildings, monuments, and landscapes of Parliament Hill reflect the importance, its importance as the heart of a great nation. The majesty and beauty of the site make Parliament Hill not only a functional workplace, but also a proud national symbol. That is so Canadian. Not only a functional workplace, but a proud national symbol. Would anything in Washington, D.C. be described as not only a functional workplace? Didn't think so. Parliament Hill stands at the heart of Canada as a national landmark. The center stage of Canadian democracy and a heritage treasure. It is our nation's meeting place, that lawn up there. A place where all Canadians can express themselves freely, like that guy with the flag on him, and where guests come together from across this great nation and around the world. Z-z-z. Okay, so there are different stations, like Stations of the Cross. And there are, I don't know, where are the numbers of these stations? It's on the map. Oh, wait a minute, here's a map. One. Oh, okay, got it. The first, we're not going through all these stations, but I was going up there anyway. And now I have information in front of me, which is swell. And it will come to the surprise of absolutely no one that the first thing I'm approaching would be something to do with Queen Victoria. As a matter of fact, this very weekend is Victoria Day weekend, and Monday is Victoria Day, which is, as I think I've mentioned before, the beginning of summer, but also the celebration of the birthday of Queen Victoria. So there's the statue of Queen Victoria in younger days, because she's not as fat, I think, on top of a little hill or a ridge that I'm about to climb up, because I was going to climb up it anyway. So there. And as I climb up, I will read, "Before Ottawa became the beautiful city it is today, and it is, it used to be a rough lumber town with roads of mud. They even used to hold races on Wellington Street, which we crossed, the road right in front of Parliament Hill. In 1857, after years of indecision by, quote, colonial, end quote, politicians, Queen Victoria chose this, quote, little lumber town, end quote, as the capital of the province of Canada, consisting at that time of what is today Quebec and Ontario. I will now climb these steps. Her choice of an unpresuming yet militarily strategic city, was an attempt to ease the political tension of the day. Nice job. 10 years later, top of the stairs, she witnessed the emergence of a new independent nation with its own constitution when she signed the British North America Act in 1867. Ooh, and there are tulips surrounding this statue, which is gorgeous. And I'm about to sit at a bench as I continue reading this. The monument to Queen Victoria was proposed for her Diamond Jubilee in 1897. I have to work out more. The 60th year of her reign, but was not unveiled until 1901. It expressed the gratitude of the Canadian people, quote, for political liberties obtained, end quote. Gratitude not only for the liberties obtained in 1867, but also for the Canadian parliamentary model, which is based on the structure introduced by Queen Victoria in Britain. Aha! Well, there you go. Ooh, cool! One other thing I'll definitely go to while I'm recording here is Station 2. And it's a little bit to my left here. And it's for Lester B. Pearson. Yay! I like him. And soon you will find out why. I think I've mentioned him before. Here's a statue. Before I read this stuff in the thing. Statue of Pearson. I love this. This is so Canadian. I can't even tell you how Canadian this stuff is. The statue of Pearson is largely brown. Dude sitting in a chair. He's sitting in a chair, and he's got his legs crossed, and he's just in his suit, and in his bow tie, and he's just kind of looking out over the lawn. It's a very casual statue. I can't even tell you. And you can walk up to it, and there are the laces on his shoes. I can touch the laces on his shoes. Touching the laces on his shoes. And looks like he has big feet. This is not to scale. I have to take a picture of this. It is so freaking awesome. Because it's so not romantic. It's so not, I don't know, glorified. It's just, you don't see statues of shit like this in Washington. It's crazy. Here's what it says. Lester B. Pearson, 14th Prime Minister of Canada from 1963 to 1968. Here we go. Lester B. Pearson went from being a semi-professional baseball player to the President of the United Nations, finally becoming the highest elected official in Canada. In 1957, that's when my parents graduated high school, he was honored with the Nobel Peace Prize for his efforts in the creation of the concept of UN peacekeeping forces. Remember that. He did much to foster the image of Canada as a peaceful nation. Under Pearson's leadership, the government established the Canada Pension Plan, universal health care, aha, remember from last time, and the Royal Commission on Bilingualism and Biculturalism. When you look at the monument, I see that, you can see, thank you, that he is depicted as an individual who never lost his casual, unpretentious, and friendly disposition. Oh, people rub Lester B. Pearson's left shoe for good luck. I already did that, didn't I? When I rubbed his left shoe? Yeah! Oh my god, I was rubbing his left, I didn't even know I was supposed to do that. Now it is shinier than the rest of the... Notice how it is shinier than the rest of the monument. That's true, the toe is shinier than the rest of the monument. Oh, that's such a trip! Okay, cool. Cat sanctuary. Parliament Hill has been home to stray cats for decades. Case in point. However, it is only since the 1970s that volunteers have paid special care and attention to these animals, creating the cat sanctuary. Going down some stairs now, maintaining its infrastructure and ensuring that the animals, cats, raccoons, groundhogs, squirrels, pigeons, chickadees, and sparrows, are fed on a daily basis. The juxtaposition of the formality, pomp, and ceremony of the Parliament buildings and the modest cat sanctuary reflects the important Canadian values of openness and compassion. Ah, nice. Oh, there he is. I'll be damned. Approaching the fence, and there's this lovely woman with a badge who's just climbing over the fence after having petted and tended to the cats. Hey guys. So on the other side of this fence, excuse me, there's a little deck, and there are other decks, I think, behind this one. And there are these houses, little houses, two of them that are facing me now with four cubby holes each and hay, straw, in the cubby holes. And little scratching things and little small boxes with holes in them and stuff. And these cats, right now there's one, two, three at the moment, visible. One kind of sitting up to my right, orange and white. One smack in front of me, laying down, totally passed out, who's dark brown and white. And this little guy seems to like attention, who is brown and gray and white. Sitting very tall in front of somebody, trying to seem as if they have some disdain, yet sitting right smack in front anyway. Hey, you. How you doing? Are you scratching the top of your head? Scratching the top of your head? Hey, you. Oh, you're looking up showing eyes now, eh? Also above this passive-aggressive cat, as if there's any other kind, is a donation box. So I will offer some. And there are other little cubby holes and wetsits down this hill. What's interesting to me is that there's this fence in front here. There's a stronger fence further down the hill, because that would actually be dangerous to get through. But the one that I'm standing directly next to is old. Let me drop something in here. It is old but has really big holes in it. These cats could walk through that any time. They could leave this area very easily, and they don't. You can't really blame them. Here's another sign that says, Stray Cats of the Hill. And someone has written in raccoons and then crossed it out. Parliament Hill has been home to these stray cats since the late 70s. They have all been neutered, to ensure the health and the stability of the colony. So it's not all very come and go as it is. They have also been inoculated against various diseases such as rabies and feline distemper. This is their home, and with proper care and shelter from the elements, they manage to survive even the coldest of winters. Tame and friendly, these cats do not represent a health hazard to the public. They are best enjoyed from a distance, and any attempt to pet them could be at your own risk. Oops. It is preferable to remain on your side of the fence so as not to disturb the environment. I am a pensioner and volunteered to feed a variety of animals, etc., etc., replacing Irène Desarmaux when she died in 1987. Since that time, I have always been faithful to my daily obligation to the animals on the hill, even when my beloved wife Rita died during the winter of 1990. The federal government does not contribute financially to this humanitarian cause, that's bullshit, which costs are more than $6,000 per year. On occasion, tourists and friends will donate food or money to help cover the cost of feeding and caring for the animals. If you wish to assist me in this humane cause, please deposit your contribution in the donation box I did, or if you prefer, a donation can be sent to my home address below. From the Catman of the Hill, René Chartrand, apartment 1207, 160 Charlotte Street, Ottawa, Ontario, K1N8Z5. I should hesitate putting out some guy's home address, but he's got a sign here on one of the most public parts of the entire country. Oh, I didn't mention the other cat that's sitting on the roof of one of the little houses. So there's that too. I'll be damned, I had no idea. Well, that's why I'm here. I'm approaching something called the Summer Pavilion, I think. In 1877, an ornamental summer house designed by Thomas Seton Scott, the first chief architect of Canada. It'd be nice for a country to have a chief architect. It was constructed near the edge of the cliff. Cliff! It was meant to be used as a summer retreat for the Speaker of the House of Commons and his family. Oh, Jesus, what a view this is. Oh my God, and there are people in boats, canoes, people, it's like dragon boats. You know, dragon boats are like really big canoes where like a dozen something people would be, and they have races and stuff. There are two, for want of a better word, dragon boats crossing the Ottawa River to this kind of isthmus thing in the middle. Holy crap, that's awesome. I will continue reading about the Summer Pavilion while I am taking a picture of this. See how I've progressed? Yeah, we'll see once I can do it. In 1956, the building was demolished because of its poor condition. In 1995, a replica of the original summer house was built at the same location. Thanks to a contribution, from the Canadian Police Association and the Canadian Association of Chiefs of Police, it was erected as a memorial and lasting tribute to the brave men and women, to the brave men and women killed while performing their duties as police and peace officers. And in fact, I'm right next to a sort of memorial here. The Canadian Police and Peace Officers Memorial Honor Roll pays tribute to the sacrifice of these brave men and women killed and their performance of their duties. Also says that in French. And there are these glass sheaths. And each of them have about 20 names on them. And they go along this wall. The pavilion, it's pretty much as you'd think. There's honestly one like this at Lakeshore Park back home. Oh, there's another, again for one of another term, dragon boat. Wow. And they're going against the current. That is so freaky. They're good. Crap. Okay, sorry. Off to the pavilion. The views here are just ridiculously spectacular, and the few times that I've been here, I've been in Ottawa, I've never been here. It's just stunning. And you know what? It kind of sucks that the politicians don't get to use this fort's original purpose of just hanging out and being chill, because there are visitors here all the time. Like I'm saying. Okay, now I'm directly across from the Museum of Civilization, which is just incongruently spectacular. And obviously bridges, lots of bridges that cross the river. I think I've been on all of them, taking wrong turns from one place or another. All of the kids in the pavilion right now are about grade 3 or 4. They look Indian, Sri Lankan, and they're all wearing uniforms that involve sweater vests. Poor kids in their sweater vests. And I'm going around the back of the center block and the library. Now, the library is a whole other deal. Because it burned down. Or, wait a minute. See how much I suck? I think I talked about this last time. I'm going through this thing to see if it says anything. It either burned down or it was the only thing that didn't burn down. It's the only thing that didn't burn down, that's right. The Library of Parliament, it's this circular, ridiculously gothic thing that somebody on a Renaissance fair would wear on their head. I'm sorry, that sounds so bad. But it's all spires and things. And it is just ridiculously gorgeous. It says here, the Library of Parliament is one of the most extraordinary examples of Gothic Revival architecture in Canada, as I have so eloquently described. Inaugurated in 1876, this magnificent building survived the devastating fire of 1916, which destroyed the original center block. As a result, it is the only part of the original Parliament building still standing. It would be difficult to overstate the library's visual and symbolic impact. And then, typically Canadian, then, it's in the back of the building. Home to a collection of over 500,000 books and documents, the library is for the use of parliamentarians and authorized clients. It preserves our political history as a reference for decisions that will lead us into tomorrow. You'd think that maybe our parliamentarians might want to go there a little more often. Okay, so now I'm approaching the other side. And what's next on this little fun fest here. More statues! This one's kind of curvy. You can sit on it. And the stone part of it. And on top are two guys talking to each other. And it's Baldwin and LaFontaine. This is the only monument on Parliament Hill that commemorates the joint efforts of two statesmen, Robert Baldwin and Sir Louis-Philippe LaFontaine, are known as the fathers of responsible government, a principle that was adopted in 1848. The principle requires the government, i.e. the Prime Minister and his or her cabinet, to have the support of the majority of the House of Commons on all the bills it proposes, thus making it answerable to the elected assembly. Now, we so take that for granted. Like, what? Like it was different? Should this not happen, the government must resign. There's your non-confidence vote. Another political party would then be asked to form the government, or elections would be called. The pedestal below the statues of Baldwin and LaFontaine is affectionately called the Whispering Wall. Have one person stand at the end of the curved bench with the carved mace, and a second stand at the other end of the bench where the downturned sword has been carved. Now, with no more than a quiet whisper, face the wall and talk to one another. I don't have anybody else to talk to, so I can't. But do that when you come here. Okay, here's an interesting statue that may be one of the last ones I note here. It's a bunch of statues, actually. And I'm going to sit. It's various statues of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 women. Two of them are seated at a small table. One is holding up a cup of tea. And one is standing next to a chair. And two are just standing. And one of them is holding up, yet again, here's the thread, a document. The statue thing is called Women Are Persons! Exclamation point. This thing says, go ahead and join these five women in their celebratory tea. They are rejoicing their victory in the Persons case of 1929, a landmark step in Canadian women's struggle for equality. These women won a legal challenge to have women considered persons under the British North America Act, making them eligible for appointment to the Senate. These five leading women were Emily Murphy, Henrietta Muir Edwards, Louise McKinney, Nellie McClung, and Irene Parlby. Pretty much everybody knows Nellie McClung, but that's pretty much it. These five determined activists not only brought about the right for women to serve in the Senate. Oh, I should note for people who don't know, we have a parliament split in two. We have the House of Commons, it's like Congress, and we have the Senate, which is like the Senate. Only the Senate is like the House of Lords in England. It's an appointed thing, and that's an issue, etc., etc. Anyway, but they also paved the way for women to participate in other aspects of public life. For example, Agnes MacPhail, first female member of Parliament, Ellen Fairclough, first female cabinet minister, Karen Wilson, first female senator, Jeanne Sauvé, I remember her, first female speaker of the House of Commons, and the first female Governor General of Canada, and good old Kim Campbell, first female Prime Minister of Canada. At least the last two of those happened easily in my lifetime. I think I got one. I'm going to do one more here because we're almost to the front. Although I did miss one, didn't I? But you gotta be sick of statues by now. And it's the biggie, I think. I might be wrong, but I think this one is of Sir Johnny MacDonald. And it's another one of these Fathers of Confederation thing, because you've got the guy on the top and you've got something on the bottom. Yep, there he is. And guess what? He's holding a document. He's got his glasses, pince-nez glasses, he's holding in one hand, and he's holding a document in the other. And underneath is this woman. I'm going to think she's a Liberty sort of figure, sitting with a flag in one hand and something else in the other hand, tablet in the other hand, looking super noble, and not looking up at the person, as has been the case for these other things, but looking out over where I'm looking now. Just for those of you who aren't from here, Sir Johnny Macdonald's role in shaping Canada's history is unparalleled. He played a leading role in Confederation negotiations and was Canada's first Prime Minister. Under his government, I'm going to sit here at a picnic table behind Sir Johnny. Oof. Under his government, Canada experienced rapid growth and prosperity. Manitoba, British Columbia, and Prince Edward Island joined Confederation, where the last spike... I had a show called that. The last spike of the Canadian Pacific Railway's transcontinental line was driven into the ground. Through his leadership as father of Confederation, his vision of a united country from sea to sea, and his efforts to include all provinces within the greater Canadian family, Macdonald left an indelible mark on Canada. The woman at the base of the monument is holding a coat of arms of the coat of arms of Canada, as it was when Macdonald was alive. You can compare today's coat of arms shown here. Yeah, it's a coat of arms, whatever. So that's the big guy. And we have now walked around the center block. That was some interesting stuff. And the view across the river is just crazy awesome. Ridiculously spectacular. Check it out, why don't you, at some point. So I'm going to finish up. Thank you for bearing with me on this one, and for downloading and listening and I don't know what, because I'm starting to get tired. The blog is descriptiontoronto.com. I have another podcast. It's called Movies for the Blind, and it's at moviesfortheblind.com. This particular podcast you're listening to is hosted by the beautiful people, Justin, of publicbroadcasting.ca. Please go to Justin's site and learn lots of other fabulous things about this fine country. And that's pretty much all I feel like saying. So, thanks again. I will leave you with more audio as I am going to walk toward the clock tower and hear what we can hear from there. And that's what I'm going to leave you with. So thank you again, and take care. Thank you.